Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always... didn't come up with one. The quantum leap to my phantom creep, it's Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing fine. I've been looking forward to podcasting this episode for a little bit now, so I'm should be a lot of fun and having a good day. So, good stuff.
Yeah, this was one of the, I don't know what I'd call it, rare instances, but a few times where you got the chance to watch the episode last night, and that was while I was watching and preparing the notes for the Perry Mason podcast, and you kept warning me that this was going to be a doozy. He's like, yeah, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take more than an hour. you might have to take a few more notes than usual. And your little messages keep popping up while I'm trying to type notes for Perry Mason into my iPhone. Well, it was fine. It didn't matter. But I just thought it was kind of funny. So by the time I did get around to watching it, it was like really late. And I could feel myself, the weariness kicking in. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stop myself now. Because this is an episode of television that is going to require every ounce of my attention and then some. And fortunately, I actually had today off, so I definitely had time in the middle of the day, you know, with the lights on bright to watch Dark. And yeah, you were not wrong. This episode, we've said it before, we're saying it again. There's something about the penultimate episodes of television. It's usually the mark of a quality show where it kind of like knocks you out. And this one, I don't know if I want to say it knocked me out or it wore me out.
once they grabbed us, they never let up. It was just bam, 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 relentless craziness.
Right. And this is not generally a slow-paced show to begin with. You know, it might take its time here or there, but generally speaking, it moves at a fairly brisk pace. But I mean, if you were doing shots every time you get to watch, like, you know, the years flip around like the freaking clock in the hatch and Lost or something, you would have been drunk before you got a half an hour into the episode, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So let's not waste any more time of me blathering here, even though there. Oh, you know what? I don't know when it happened in the episodes, like, because I didn't make a note of it, but I wanted to mention this. I'm going to mention it now. And it's about the episode. There was a certain... This is a total accident. There was a certain point during the episode where I had to pause it. I don't remember why. Maybe I had to get up and get a beverage. Maybe I had to yell at the cat. I don't know. But here's why I'm mentioning this. And I will include a photo, because I took a photo of it, because it was just so weird, and I will include it on our Facebook page probably after I post the podcast there sometime this week. I guess the image on the screen was a nighttime shot with just the moon hanging in the air, right? However, just, again, pure coincidence. When I paused it and I looked over... When you pause something on Netflix, you have the title of the show right there on the left, you know, taking up the half the screen on the left side.
Right.
So it looked, I kid you not, it looked like it said Dark, like D-A-R-K, and right there where it should be, the moon was like the O, like it was an homage to Donnie Darko. And I just stared at the screen for a second there, and I was like, I've got to take a picture of that. That's just so bizarre. And because I bet the people who made the show probably really liked Donnie Darko, because, you know, how crazy a movie was that. Anyway, I still
haven't seen it. I own it, and Jamie's been trying to get me to watch it, but I haven't got around to it yet.
Oh, that's, I would be very surprised if you don't like Donnie Darko. That seems to be kind of your kind of movie. When you see it, you'll know what I mean.
Sweet.
All right, so let's get cracking on the penultimate episode of Dark. The title, as we were kind of mocking it in the previous podcast just a wee bit, was simply Between the Time. And let's say, and you can tell me if you think I'm right on this, or maybe this is just such an obvious observation it doesn't need to be said. It hit me about 6-7 minutes, somewhere around into the episode, that deceptively boring title, you know, The Between Time, or Between the Time, could have actually be implying that a lot of the events we're going to be seeing in this episode take place between the usual times of this series, between the usual 33-year cycles.
Right.
And that, I mean, obviously there are some things that take place kind of close to those cycles or around those cycles, but I'm going to say a lot, most of the stuff we saw was not, you know, beholden to those cycles. I mean, we were seeing things in, well, obviously we kick off at 1974, which I thought was amazing. But, you know, we've got 1910, we've got 2040, we've got all these years that we just haven't seen used before. So
yeah,
I like that they kind of loosened the shackles of that. So we got to see what was going on, you know, throughout the last, well, over the last century and a half, I guess.
Right.
So when we kick off this episode, we hear a narrator going over the whole Schrodinger's cat experiment, you know, illustrating theories behind, you know, multiple and parallel realities. This was a little unusual for the show, and I was kind of thinking of the third season of, was it the second? No, sorry, second season. Right. Wait, not it's not Legion, it's Fargo, isn't it? The one with John Hamm doing all the narration? And,
I think that was season three.
Season three of Fargo. Yeah, it's the one with the McGregor, with Ewan McGregor, with the twins, whatever. And he was doing all, illustrating different, you know, ideas. And it kind of reminded me of that a little bit. And
yeah.
And I was like, oh. And part of me almost wished they had gotten John Hamm for it, because I didn't know who the narrator was initially until we discover, right. You know, oh, I think I know who that is. And it turns out, yes, it's Tan House, but...
There was one scene back in season one where like this version of Tan House was doing some kind of a like science show that somebody was watching on TV.
Oh, really? Okay, so we have seen that.
But it wasn't like, but it didn't start with like a really cool graphic or anything like this episode did. It was right. Just kind of like, yeah.
Okay, so we actually have seen the 70s version of Tan House before. I did not realize that. So let me ask, because I didn't think to look it up. I'm just curious. Is that the actor who played him in the 50s, and they just kind of gave him?
Yeah, I didn't look it up, but this is the same actor that played him in the 50s. It's the one that gets the blueprints from, I don't know, or actually, he gets the blueprints from, I guess Claudia. He gets the cell phone from Ulrich.
Right, because we see some of that stuff in this episode later on. This episode. So anyway, as he's continuing talking about this. You know, the theories between, you know, multiple and parallel realities, we are taken to that moment where, you know, Traveler Martha is about to save Jonas. This is moments after, again, I'm using the Earth One thing, that Earth One Martha had been killed by Adam. But that's when we see a possible alternate reality in which Bartosz. Like you just tossed the bar, Bartosz. The one who, like her, is also from Earth 2, he stops her from going in and tells her how she's been lied to. Adam doesn't want her to stop the apocalypse. He's not on your side. You know, he's going to kill you. And I think it's actually after that, the reveal that what we were watching with Tan House, that it's 1974, but obviously one could have guessed that just basically from the way he's dressed and the way he looks.
Oh, yeah. He's totally rocking that 70s shit.
But, you know, we kind of shift back just to focusing on Tan House as his narration continues, and I won't go on and on with what he says because, you know, you guys watched it already.
Well, I was just glad that they finally got a cat in the show, even though it was Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. They actually had to give us the illustration of the dead cat. I was like, oh, I'm used to hearing it referred to. I'm not used to actually seeing it, although at one certain point, like, I was hoping it had, like, little X's for the eyes or something. You know, the cat. Classic cartoon death. But the basic gist of what he's talking about is just the idea of rewinding time. It's the concept of changing things to bring people back from the dead. That's the idea behind it, what he's talking about. Now, the interesting thing is that I feel, and they even touch upon it again in this very same episode, it's been established that if someone is meant to die, they're going to die. And even if you try to change it, eventually they're going to die anyway. You can't change it. Just by the same token, you can't kill someone who wasn't meant to be killed. You know, sort of like when Noah tries to shoot Adam in that other episode. and the gun doesn't fire, or the thing that happens with Jonas in this episode. So basically, the loosey-goosey time rules of Dark that they've established is, you know, it's not just whatever happened, happened. It's also whatever didn't happen, didn't happen. Which also means the thing that Tannhaus is spending all this time speculating about, again, by the rules I feel they have established on this series, isn't supposed to be possible. That's only based on what we've seen as far as I'm interpreting it so far.
Yes.
Also, but just probably should throw this in because we spend so much time seeing it briefly throughout the episode. During his narration, we do see him go to that ever-popular bunker. I think it's almost maybe it seems like it's the first time anyone's been there in who knows how long, as of 1974. And that's when we do our first big jump. And we're going to be jumping throughout this episode. It's like, you know, frogs on cocaine in this freaking episode. You know, we jump to 2021. And we're in the caverns, and that's when we are seeing Earth... I keep doing it. Earth 1 Elizabeth and young Noah there, and they're like digging by hand towards that passage door. And I like that one of the fun conceits about this episode is they're not concerned about doing like full-fledged scenes. They can just, they'll literally just go back for something like just for like, oh, here's where they are for like 20 seconds. Ah, let's go somewhere else. I was really kind of enjoying that.
Yeah, they're really economical with their storytelling. They just show us what we need to, you know, see to progress things a little bit at a time. But it worked really, really effectively.
Oh yeah, it ends up being, you know what it does as a result? Because you're cutting, you know, quickly from one thing to the other. Even if the action you're seeing isn't especially frenetic, it creates that kind of energy. So it makes it almost by definition more exciting to see. Because let's face it, you know, digging is kind of boring, but when you zoom to it there, oh shit, there they are, and then boom, we're going to go to 1890, you know? and what makes it even better is that when you pop to 1890, you know, you got older Jonas, he's still working on that big Tesla-like machine. So you got all the electricity crackling and zapping all over the place, and the dark matter globule there is, you know, doing his gloopy thing. And that's when his arm gets really badly, like, skinned and burned, you know, from a minor accident. Did you think, for a moment, I was thinking, oh, is this going to be part of the explanation for the way Adam kind of looks? You know, because I kept telling us it just from, you know, from traveling through time too much or whatever, the effects on him. But I thought this might have been a bit more plausible. But then I was like, nah, probably not. It's just his arm. So.
Yeah. But he definitely took a good lightning strike there.
Oh, absolutely. And this is where I kind of thought of you, and I was like, oh, this is like the redemption turn for Dan this season for this episode, for this show series, because Bartosz is kind of a freaking hero in this episode, you know, at least for the most part, certainly more than certain other characters.
Yeah, he definitely is finally stepping up here.
Oh yeah, and then I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you start realizing there is a certain point in the episode when you realize, wow, you know, when you think about it, Bartosz turned out to be really, really important. I mean, really important. But here, before all that important stuff starts, he's referring to the fact they've already been there for a couple years, and he confronts older Jonas. You know, you don't even know how the portal works. You don't even want to go back. You have no intention of stopping the apocalypse, which means he's kind of making older Jonas already sound like he's Adam, just everything he's saying here. But older Jonas, he does want the portal to work, as he says, because he wants to find the origin and to stop it, and then everything else never happens. Now, I'm assuming that when older Jonas is talking about finding the origin, he's talking about the same thing everyone else has meant when they talk about that, which is actually the birth of the baby between Martha and Jonas. I don't know if older Jonas himself even knows what he's talking about when he says that as a result. But that's certainly his mission 160 years later. So,
right. I mean, yeah, once, because, like, you know, they're all kind of, like, operating based on, like, what's in that book, I suppose. So that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny how there's different things that need to be given to people or passed around, and they all act as certain forms of a blueprint. Sometimes they're literal, like, the blueprint has to be given to Thanos for like the time machine, I think it is, right? And so on. And
Yes.
then or the actual book, which in a way, it's also the blueprint for plans of how, what you're going to do. What are your step by step in order to proceed as far as the upcoming apocalypse and everything else. Also, we're still in 1890, and here we go. And well, by the way, I heard different. I don't know which version you were watching. I heard her name pronounced different ways by different characters, which is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
So I mean, I heard them do. I heard them pronounce the J. And they, so I heard someone say Silja, and
Yeah.
I know
Are
you were saying it's Silja.
you watching the German audio or the English audio?
I'm not going to
Son of a bitch, Scott. Well, it's in the German audio, it's still yeah, like every time.
Well, much like the Simon and Garfunkel. Anyway, go. So Silja is sent back to 1890, where she meets Bartosz,
Yeah, and I guess we
and.
knew last episode that she was sent on some kind of a mission, but we weren't sure where or if she got sent with somebody else. But I don't know if she
Oh,
knows.
and then we'll get to them, but when we see how that whole thing unfolds, some stuff starts making a whole lot more sense, and some stuff is like, ew.
Yeah,
So we'll
but yeah,
get.
definitely. But it's definitely clear that, like, since Bartosz, it's definitely, he's displaying more agency and he's challenging Jonas back at the time, had him send her back just to, like, set up a meet cute and keep Bartosz sidelined, which works.
Yeah, he's a long way from the little snivelly guy he was in season one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we then bounce back once again. We bounce to 2023, and we're at the destroyed nuke plant where that God particle still is. And there's Jonas and Claudia, and it looks like they've been experimenting for the past couple of years. In fact, at this point, it seems like everything that we're watching in the episode so far is just inching up a couple more years, outside of the weird foray into 1974. But, as I said earlier, we're going to be dipping into a lot more of those in-between times again soon enough. But
Right.
I guess they've been trying this for a couple of years to no avail, no success. And now Jonas, he just wants to cash in his chips and split. It doesn't matter that Claudia wants him to stay and continue. And there he goes back to that house again. And I had this
Yeah, so I
weird.
guess
Yeah, go on.
Oh, just like, so I guess we see, like, the house wasn't destroyed because, like, we were wondering why Jonas survived when the house kind of got hit with the shockwave, but I guess the house just kind of got, like, fucked up. It must have got just like hit by like debris or something, and like, ripped up the roof. But since this is presumably like this is the timeline where alternate universe Martha doesn't take Jonas out of it due to heroic intervention by Bartosz, so I guess. But since the house is still standing in 2023,
Well, I assume the house would be standing because we'd already seen, correct me if I'm wrong, hadn't we seen like Peter and Elizabeth go to that house in a previous
Yeah,
episode? And then
I think so.
that's when younger Noah shows up and it kind of creeps her out for a minute, then he disappears again.
Yeah, it's just
So.
been a while. We're kind of wondering, like, why Jonas survived that
Oh,
house kid
no.
smoke.
My problem was that Jonas is running out of the house at that moment. I'm
Yeah.
like, I don't see how he survives. And plus, just being in the house doesn't mean he would survive that. It's not like it's a lead line, It's not a
No.
bunker, it's a house. Speaking of all that, there's a re that I'm glad we kind of spent some time on the house because I have a question about it. And it's a question that I can come up with an explanation for. This could be a number of explanations, but I got to put it out there. So the question is this. In each reality on Earth One so far, either Jonas is taken away by Traveler Martha or not. Either way, Martha dies in that house, right? No matter what.
Yes. Yep.
My question is, hey, what happened to Martha's body? There's no bones. Was her body dragged out of there by someone else at another time? Did Peter and Elizabeth bury her at some point, or did younger Noah do something with her body? Because I'm just curious, because we've seen that house other time. Well, forget that this is a few years later. You can excuse it, but like what I mentioned before about Peter and Elizabeth, they went there. It was only a few months later, wasn't it? Like it was September, so it was a few months later. Martha's
Right.
dead body should be there. and it's not. So I'm just curious what happened to her body. Because there's no indication, people were not vaporized by this apocalyptic blast. That's the whole point of all those photos, to let us know that that's not what happened to these people. So it wasn't like the day after where they all suddenly became, you know, powdery skeletons or something. So yeah, I'm just
I think there's a possibility that she didn't die all the way there, because like when Adam shoots her and then, you know, tells Jonas that he has a choice to like, you know, stay there and try to save her, or like to like follow him and try to stop the explosion or whatever. But he clearly says that, like, you know, if you stay there, you might be able to save her. So I don't know if she's actually completely dead. So maybe after,
so
you know,
maybe some.
There's only one episode.
No, that's a great no. I love that theory. Because we, or I at least, have kind of, we've done a bad thing because we're talking about Dark here. I've been assuming she's just been dead. But I don't recall anyone ever actually saying she's dead. You know, Jonas is all whatever. Jonas not dead. I didn't see her checking her heartbeat or her pulse or seeing if she was breathing. No. She's whisked away. And then he gets whisked away while it's all happening.
Yeah, people infer that she is, but... But there, you know, I wouldn't be surprised in the next episode. Yeah.
But it might be because Adam shoots her and then leaves. He might just always assume that he killed her. But here's the thing. It's not like he shot her in the head.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it was just, a gut shot, I suppose, makes it, you know.
You know what's going to suck? If it turns out it's going to be great if it turns out she's alive. But, you know, people are going to think we watched the episode already. So.
Yeah. I know. I briefly considered it, like, sometime in the previous episode. Like, I wonder if she's actually dead. But now, definitely, you know, now that you bring it up.
I'm too busy now coming to grips with the fact that my theory has, you know, been junked. Adam, at this point, I have to go along with, Adam is Jonah. I'm wrong. They, God damn it. I really thought I was going to be right on that one. I was so like, oh, I'm going to be so cool. No.
Yeah.
No.
So if Martha's still alive, I suppose the most likely candidate for pulling her out of the timeline there would be, I suppose, Claudia, I suppose. Somebody that could travel to that point and then yank her out quick. I mean, there's a lot of different options, but that's like a character that seems to be able to like do stuff and like... surprise to like that Adam and Eva aren't aware of. Claudia seems to be more able to do that.
Right. That's one logical choice because of the stuff that Claudia seems to get away with in this episode. I'm also kind of enamored of the idea that a Martha saves a Martha. So that's also a possibility, especially because there's so many of them. And we're probably not even taking into account there's probably other alternate Marthas out there that we're not thinking about. Oh, so we were just talking a few moments ago about the whole thing about where you can't, if you're not meant to die, you're not going to die, that whole thing. And, you know, we come back to, you know, of course it's a happy German series where once again, the main character tries to hang himself.
Yeah. And you know what? Since he almost got hung before, and I'm guessing that really kind of fucking sucks. Like, why the hell would you do that again? I can't imagine that'd be a fun way to go. Like hanging yourself when you already went through that once.
You can't come up with another way to do it. I mean,
put your head in the fucking oven.
When you start thinking about, you know, between the hanging and then you know, a character in this very episode, some version of Jonas is actually choked by another character. It's like, you know, is there any other way to kill Jonas? Does it always have to be, you know, cutting off his air supply via his throat and trachea and whatnot? Right. So he's about to hang himself, and then younger Noah shows up and saves him. Like I said, you know, can't die. Then younger Noah takes him down to the passage. I finally brought myself to stop calling it the portal and start calling it the passage like they do on the show, since now they're calling the other stuff the portal, and I don't want to confuse matters.
Right. But it was a really cool scene, though, because, you know, like the way that Adam ends up killing Noah, you know, in a previous season.
Yes.
This is like the inverse of that, and that was just super fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things with Noah in this episode. I also have a big question about one scene because I need someone I guess that someone was going to be you. I need someone to tell me, is that Noah in this scene or not? Because I can't tell. But we're not up to that scene yet. because I don't see it in my notes yet. So when we get up to it, I'll say, is that Noah or is that somebody else? And I'm just stupid. We'll find out. But let's get back to one of those in-between times, because now is when we start getting really important family tree stuff. The show is... It's little wonder that one of the recurring images throughout the series has been something that we've likened to a family tree and how very, very twisted it is. And with this episode, we discover it's a whole lot more twisted, because we bounce back to 1904. Totally in between 1888 and 1928. Look, 1904. And we either... You can call her Silja, or you can call her Celia. I don't care what her name is. She's having a kid with Bartos, and that kid turns out to be someone named Hanno. And we already know from what we're talking about in previous podcasts, because you actually pay attention to things, that's Noah.
I know. I'm fucking believable. I had no idea. I mean, I exited the episode and went and looked at the family tree on the ground, and I had I'd noticed before that he was in two different locations where he was kind of, but I just thought, he was in the one location so he could be near Agnes. I didn't realize that he was like, him being connected to the Tiedemanns actually was relevant. I mean, it made sense that he was up with Elizabeth, but what the fuck?
So,
wow.
So just, and there's going to be one of a couple times, this is probably the most definitive one I'm going to do in the entire podcast. There'll be one, at least one more I'll do later on. So let's just clarify this for everybody. So therefore, Bartos is Noah's dad, which therefore makes Bartos Charlotte's grandfather, which therefore makes Bartos Elizabeth and Francesca's great-grandfather. What? But there'll be more. And there's at least two more pieces we'll be touching on during this podcast. But well, let's go.
But this is
come on.
It's so great, because when we were podcasting season one, we speculated that maybe Noah was Bartos' like actual father.
Yeah.
But but nope, that's not what happened at all.
And it's so funny you should bring that up, that having the parent child relationship reversed, because that means we also got, or at least I did, I think we both did, got another parent child relationship in reverse. We can say it now. It's only skipping ahead a little bit, but it's not that big a deal, so I don't care. Going back to Celia, Silja, Sister Silja, whatever you want to call her. Sister Silja. Such a dated reference. Remember a few episodes back in 2050, whatever the heck year it is, when Agnes has that little moment with Celia. And we were speculating, like, oh, maybe Celia's actually Agnes's daughter. And when it turns out, no.
Nope.
It's the other way around. And this might be the first time they've actually met because of what happened in childbirth. That kind of blew my mind when I thought of that moment now.
Yeah, it really didn't make any sense back then. So that's pretty impressive.
I just love that you have these things that it reminds me of... it's like those games where you just like slide something down and it just falls into place as kind of like those little puzzles. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, we do get a little brief moment. Again, one of those little 20-second, where we're just going to peek over here, then we're going to go back somewhere else. We peek in on Tannhaus, who's clearly been spending years and years building some very impressive and rather massive piece of tech in the bunker. But we're going to get...
12 years worth.
Okay.
Because the montage starts in 1974 and then it ends in 1986.
Yes, right. Look at you. Where did Dan come here with the details? What's going on here, man?
I just want to say, like, that montage was just awesome. The way they edited it, and the way, like, the actor that plays him in the 50s, like, he just ended up becoming the actor that plays him in the 80s over the course of that. Yes. It was just sweet. I mean, it's just, of course, you know, it's a logical thing to do, but they did it very effectively. Just so cool. And the machine's awesome, also.
They did it so effectively, I forgot all about it. So I'm just kidding. I didn't make a note about it. Yeah. We go to 2040. This is where I had the question. It is where I had the question. where we get the we have the older Jonah there and Claudia and that big dark matter blurble bubble thing. Is that Noah who's there with them?
Yep, that's the middle aged Noah who has aged into being that age now.
Okay, that was the
only... just like Jonas has aged into the other actor as well.
Okay, I just got kind of confused because is there yet another Jonas actor? And I didn't realize that.
No, but that's just the actor that plays the stranger, but without a beard.
Yeah, no, I knew it was him because I remember thinking without the beard, he actually again. I'm like, oh, he's actually well cast. He actually kind of looks like the.
Yeah. And having him in the hazmat suit makes it easier to pull off that kind of like effect. But it worked well.
Right. I just got confused because I wrote in the notes. I wrote to be clear that is Noah. Right. It's late. My eyes are bleary. I'm tired. I'm not really sure. I'm gonna ask Dan to verify this in the podcast. So there we go. I wrote whoever it is. I don't care if it's Noah or Mr. X or anybody. He insists that Claudia can't be trusted. She's hiding something from them. So
yeah, and Claudia hasn't quite aged. She's still the middle-aged actress, but she's definitely looking worse for the wear. Pretty haggard. Got the crazy ass hair by now.
She's got the crazy ass hair. She's already got the old lady Claudia hair going.
I don't know why she would keep her hair so long if she has to like put it in the fucking hazmat helmet all the time. But whatever.
Things like cutting hair are just not important there. Which means I don't want to think about. Okay, now I thought about it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay.
Let's see how far are we into the episode. I'm going to insert a Chewbacca sound quick.
Okay. Well, speaking of Claudia, we get two Claudias, and because Earth 2 Claudia shows up, you know, the one from Eve's team, but you know, yada yada yada, Claudia from Earth 1 ends up pulling a gun on her. You know, demanding that there must be some way to untie that knot. It's really all about the promise that she wants her daughter, Regina, to live. And then she kills her.
Huh.
That was a bit of a surprise. It's one of those things, once it happened and as the episode moves forward, I realize, that has to be what happens. But in the moment, I was like, correct me if I'm wrong. I might be. I'm used to being wrong for this show. Is this the first time, or am I forgetting? I feel like I'm forgetting one. I think there might be one I'm forgetting. Is this the first time someone has killed themselves on the show, so to speak, as far as another version of themselves?
Yeah, I think so. I can't think of any other instance of it.
Okay, because everyone's killing family members. And
yeah.
And we get another doozy in this one. Or a couple, but this is the first one. Okay.
And before this Claudia scene, we also saw Elizabeth show up pregnant as well.
Yes.
I mean, not that it's super, you know, relevant, but it is part of the whatever. So, but at this point, you know, Elizabeth is pregnant with Charlotte, her mother.
Right. I think I might have skipped over that because I figured what later is more important.
Right. But with this Claudia scene, I did like how she kind of like, before she kills her, she confirms that like there isn't an old version of her like in that reality. So if she hasn't seen an old version of herself, then she knows that she can kill this. You know, like she can kill her.
Right.
Because I'm sure by this point, if she's hanging around with Jonas and Noah for 17 years, she knows that Jonas tried killing himself. And Noah stopped him. So I guess she probably understands the rules. And then
It goes back to what I was saying earlier on about, you know, how do you know who you can kill and who you can't, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, in that moment when she kills her, I will confess I had the thought, is she going to, like, try to assume her identity? You know, isn't Eva going to figure that out? Well, apparently, unless with one episode left to go, it's revealed otherwise, apparently she can get away with it.
Yeah,
and then we get another. Well, I guess I would call it another building block of, you know, past steps to be taken care of, because that's where she. That's when she's instructed to give Tannhaus that blueprint, you know, the schematics for the time machine and so on.
Yeah.
So that's like, finally we see where that happens from. And that is when we zip. Oh, boy. We zip from 2040 all the way back to 1910, and the aforementioned Agnes is born, and that's when Celia dies. And as we've already said, that's when, you know, we get the explanation for that strange moment between Agnes and Celia. Even though I would assume Celia didn't have any idea what was going on at that point. Maybe Agnes told her, maybe she didn't. I have no idea. I'm assuming she didn't tell her, because that would just be kind of
weird. And by this point, Bartosz has aged into the middle-aged actor as well.
Right. The only reason I'm not mentioning is I'm just figuring he has. I mentioned more when I think he has a key moment in the scene, and that's going to be later. You mentioned Elizabeth before. Now we get to the stuff where I think stuff is worth talking about with them. That's older Noah and Elizabeth, and you see them being overheard by an even slightly older Elizabeth and Charlotte. Remember, they were paired up on a mission.
Yeah, in 2041 here.
This is 2041, because she was pregnant in 2040. And they've come to take the baby, who is Charlotte. And I don't know if I want to give them the writers credit or shake a finger at the writer and say, yeah, you missed out on an opportunity here. Even if it only would have been for a few seconds, you missed an opportunity. They should have had Charlotte hold herself as a baby. I think they should, because that's just, there's something just so incredibly weird about that. I kind of would have enjoyed it. Yeah,
it would have been weird, but but the direction that they went makes sense, just because like this version of Elizabeth lost baby 13 years ago. So, I mean, it was a pretty touching scene.
I personally think there's something really horribly tragic about the scene, and not just merely taking somebody's child, which I guess in of itself is inherently tragic. And also, we should also point out that I think when Elizabeth takes the baby, Charlotte takes the damn pocket watch, which is there. If we could have time, or if someone could just put it on super fast forward, and we could just follow the trail of that damn pocket watch, because it gets kind of confusing after a while.
At the beginning of the scene too, before the baby got abducted, I realized that like I hadn't given any thought as to like why Noah and Elizabeth weren't together anymore, like what exactly had happened. I hadn't really speculated on that before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that they had been together and then the baby disappeared, but I didn't really give a thought to like what kind of goodbye they had or why they weren't together.
This explains it, but it's not. I would say it's not a great explanation. In the sense that it's not a great decision on his part. And actually, I mentioned Legion before. You've not seen season 3 yet still, really? There's something that happens in season 3 where, it's not a big spoiler, and I don't care.
You can tell me.
I'm not stopping myself. There's a point in the season where Professor X leaves to go, on the other side of the world to deal with the situation. He's going to be gone for who knows how long. And his wife is clearly in mental distress. And he just leaves her. He's like, oh, you'll be fine. And anyone's like, no, don't leave her. She's going to go nuts. I sort of thought that a little bit with Noah leaving Elizabeth. Obviously he's leaving because he's promising he's going to find Charlotte. But the state she's in, I don't know if that's a great idea. But the thing, I didn't get to why I said, why I think it's such a horrifically tragic moment beyond losing your baby, because in my opinion this act is what kind of plunges this slightly earlier version of Elizabeth. I think it puts her over the edge, because she seems to be kind of leveling out now, and we're talking about the later future version of Elizabeth, but initially she seems like she's kind of like left the reservation. She's out there. She's nuts. And I think this incident is what starts her down that road. Not the apocalypse, not everything else, because she survived all that and she's in love and blah, 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 whatever. This kind of sets her off into crazy town. And then,
pretty much all she has to cling to now, once Noah's gone and the baby's gone, is she just focuses on the you know, the stuff that Noah tells her that she's like totally into, like the cult type shit.
Right.
She's just like, she just drinks it in. And that's like, from this point forward, that's just like all she has. She just does that. And that's everything she does is an agency of that.
Right.
And she does it on her own because everybody else is fucking gone.
What makes it so tragic is, to put it in a simple sentence, basically she ends up driving herself crazy. She's to blame for her being you know, a much more of a nutcase from this point on, and she's the one who actually did it. That's some really dark. Well, it's dark. There you go.
Yeah.
In most TV shows, you know, something like that. Wow, that would be like the darkest thing that could happen on a show. Not even close. We're not there yet. We're gonna get there. We're getting close. and the only thing that, well, you know what? I'll wait till you get there because I'm gonna have a little fun with it and it's gonna be horrible. So we bounce over to Ten House in 1986 in the bunker. He's with that contraption, and when he triggers it, and all of a sudden, voop, we zoom to 1911.
At the beginning of that scene, I realized that, like, another thing, like, one of the things I hadn't really thought about is, like, what happens to Tannhaus after the 80s either. If it's, like, something the show never really got into. Charlotte never really talked about it, so we still don't know exactly, but the fact that I didn't consider it before this point was just that's strange.
I thought they had mentioned he had passed away.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't remember. It's possible.
Well, he would...
If
he didn't pass away, he'd be like... really old, because, you know, that'd be 33 years on top of, he was already in his 60s, late 60s, we assume. So he'd be like, you know, like 100 or something. I think they made a reference to him having passed. I could be wrong, because you're more likely to remember these things than I am.
Yeah,
I could have sworn they mentioned he had passed away.
And Charlotte might have said it in season one or something when she was looking at the picture.
Right, I think it's the season one. But again, I'm don't hold me to that. I might be just remembering incorrectly or assuming. I, you know, don't keep your bad reviews to yourself, people.
Yeah. But either way, his machine's pretty cool, and it's neat that he activates it. We don't know what happens yet.
Okay. We gotta get to 1911 because this is the big thing. This is the big thing. The thing I've been waiting the whole damn episode to talk about. Right.
1911 it is.
Freaking Hannah shows up. Finally. And who's the little girl that's with her? Who's her daughter? It's Celia. Or Silja. Where the fuck her name is? By the way, I'm kind of impressed that she recognizes Bartosz, but whatever. Okay. Wait a minute. So that makes Hannah Charlotte's great-grandmother, and she's the great-great-grandmother of Elizabeth and Francesca. And all of a sudden you start going... everything in that town just got a couple shades more. Ew. Because we haven't even mentioned the fact that, wait, that means, but Egon would be Celia's dad. So then you start plugging him into everything.
I think it still could be Ulrich, theoretically, but most likely it's Egon. And the fact that, like the, you know, he's supposed to preserve his bloodline or something, which that makes sense now if Egon got Hannah pregnant.
Yes.
So most likely it's Egon, but I still, you know, it's possible it could be Ulrich.
I guess it's possible. I just feel that, I mean, again, they never really established, I shouldn't say they never established, because maybe they did. I'm not aware, I should say it that way. I'm not aware that they really established how much time has passed between, well, quite frankly, the last time she was with Ulrich and when she actually tells Egon that she's pregnant, when she finds out from the doctor. I have no idea how much time has passed.
It must be Egon, because 3 months passed there.
Right, because she was there for a while.
But also... Yeah. Yeah, but also time passed between when she was banging Ulrich and when she went to the past, because the one was in 2019, and then Ulrich went to the past, and Ulrich got stuck in the past in 2019, and then in 2020 is when Hannah traveled back. So yeah, it has to be Egon. Sorry, Ulrich. You didn't fuck her this time.
That's right. He's in solitary probably right now. He can't hear you. So
yeah.
She shows up there, and she's looking for Jonas, you know, her son. And I did have the momentary thought that, hey, you know, at least, you know, Dark, at least with all these bizarre incestuous connections that seem to be spread throughout the series. As far as I know, and again, we still have one more episode to go, so they could do something super beyond creepy. You know, I'll actually enjoy it, but a lot of people will be like, ew. I don't think anyone's actually been banging possible children or parents or grand or generations removed like that, or grandkids or grand. Everyone, it's been at least, you know, at least one relative over. So we don't have anyone like, oh my god, I had sex with my grandmother, or vice versa, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because that would be the this one like. Cool.
Right. Well, like now we got like, you know, Egon is Bartosz's grandfather, but also Egon is the father of Bartosz's like wife. So it's a real fucking tangled web there.
It's, I don't know. So we get to the scene where that's where we get the revelation, I guess, if you want to call it that. Now traveling has started to take its toll on Jonas. This is where, even though he's still a thinner version, it might be the other, I think it might be the older Jonas actor in with the makeup on. But the transformation to the pruny faced Adam has commenced.
Yep.
We do discover how she found a way that Eve apparently led her there, which is fine and interesting. Although I'll confess, there's like a little part of me that feels a little cheated to not to see how those two cross paths. How did Hannah end up talking to Eve? That we might get it next episode, but something tells me we're not going to.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we didn't like the fact that we didn't see it is because we needed to see how Adam / Jonas reacted to that fact.
Yes, I totally get why they did it.
It would have been cool to see.
And just as a little aside here, and it's just me, I always, with very few exceptions, I always mock that which I love. So I'm going to mock something on the show right now. What is it with Adam and Eve that between the two of them, they have clearly spent countless freaking hours just staring at a painting? That's all they ever do. They're just, he's always staring at that one. She's always staring at the Adam and Eve one, which is even less interesting, quite frankly. And I'm like going, all right, enough. It's like,
maybe they were the production designers for the opening credits for Leftovers Season 1. This is them.
Oh, I hate those credits so much. Okay, and you know I hate them, so thank you for that.
But also another little aside, literally, right. the casting for Child Celia was just awesome. I mean, another instance of really, really good casting. Because, yes. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if she's related to the actress that plays the other one. I've seen a couple instances where, like, some of the actors are related, like maybe the, like, those, oh, those the three.
It's weird. I actually found out she's the other actress's mom. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, Dark turned out to be a reality show. Who knew? You know, Germans. So, where were we? Oh, yeah. We get, this is me being a smart ass in my notes. We get, I was calling him later scarred Jonas or not totally old Adam. goes to their room, and that's when he says, they're not right there. And all the pieces need to be in the correct position. Okay. You know from the get-go, once she mentions Eve, I was like, okay, this is a move by Eve to kind of try to disrupt his plans. I'm going to assume we both. I knew where this was going to go. And I'm just watching, like, are they going there? Are they, is my morbid fascination, you know, I perked up. I was like, are they really going to go there? And they went there. Huh. And the dude doesn't even use a pillow. He uses his hands. he goes super old school. My God. So, yes, we get a little matricide. So.
Yeah, on a mattress.
On a mattress, so how would that? but not with a mattress. Yeah, it's funny because you had mentioned on the previous podcast we were making a joke about, you know, the bad parenting on the show, because there's a whole lot of bad parenting. But we were making a joke we were like referring to how many times parents have killed their kids at some point, or just been horrible, you know. Or oh, no, she killed her kid actually. Yeah. So killed her kid.
Yeah. But, and kids killing their parents, like right. Claudia killing Egon.
Right. So I forgotten about the Claudia killing Egon thing until later on, and it's like, oh yeah, I guess it has happened. And then we got to like, oh well, if I forgot about Claudia killing Egon, which at least that was an accident. This is not an accident.
Nope.
This is just cold calculating. It's like, you know, I've been reading the feedback on social media, and you are one of the least liked characters. It is time to kill you.
Oh. Yeah, now we just get Adam to like travel to the 80s and kill Katarina's mom, and we'll be squared away.
Oh, I just noticed a note I took. I forgot about this. We were talking about who's mother and father, and the thing about Egon being Celia's dad, which would therefore also make her Claudia's half sister. I think if it's just your same father, makes it a half. I think
right.
Yeah. Okay. Jesus. So, all right. You know, let's take a little break from the increasingly twisted family tree.
And I wrote a note about how like Adam tells Bartosz or whoever to prepare the chamber, and like I like whenever somebody says that, like I always assume they're talking about like some like time machine thing or something, but like that just seems to be like what they call bedrooms in like Germany in like the 19 whatever. It's because like when that's what is said by I guess Agnes's like adopted mom, like whatever Nielsen runs the inn in Winden in 1920, when she says prepare the chamber when young Jonas gets stuck there in 1920, she says prepare the chamber too, and it's just like it's just a fucking bedroom. So I guess that's why like you know Alice Waringen pisses in something called a chamber pot, because like those rooms are called chambers back in the day. But like still, like I just like thought like, oh, they're gonna get a time machine ready or something.
See, this is how you and I are different. When I hear a German talking about getting a chamber ready, I think something very different. So, I was waiting for you to get through that whole thing to make that joke. And it popped in my head.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's like between you and Brian. It's like, oh, my God, just pause for a second. I have a joke to make, and you're going to ruin it.
You're much better. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm Norwegian.
You stopped.
I'm Norwegian, so yeah. We collaborated. Different experience. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, I know. So,
but not all of us.
So we bounce a few years up to 1920. Hey, just before the thing. And that's when we see Noah showing up at a bar and meeting himself. And then later he goes to see Adam. And I guess I think the microphone picks up my hands rubbing my legs. I just noticed that.
Yeah, and that's the same bar where Jonas ends up in 1922, and like you know, yes. Nielsen is running it. Yep.
Yes, that much I know. But my estimation from what's going on, like this is where we see Noah being put on the path that we had watched throughout the first two seasons of the show. You know, whether it be the time hopping, the searching for the pages, the experimentations, etc. So, like I said, it's interesting that. This is an episode that seems to they're accomplishing a lot of things. They're revealing things right and left as far as connections and moving the plot forward, as well as filling in the gaps of how one thing led to the other. Like I said, it's like that game where you're just sliding pieces into place, like, okay, now I see how that leads to that, leads to that, leads to that. And then we have all the stuff going on, all of a sudden bloop. Oh, hey, forget the 1920s. We're in 2052 now. Freaking episode. You hear the reference to, like, the dark matter can be stabilized. But that's where you see Claudia is giving older Jonas his instructions about giving Thanos that book that will hopefully lead to the whole untying or destroying the knot by destroying that passage. But she says something. And now we're getting towards... Oh, we are pretty close again here. She says, this time you'll get it. And that was one of those, you know, as if this is something that's been repeated, you know, more than just once before. And it's after he departs that she tears out those pages. And we've only got one episode to go. And I kind of, and just because they've used this imagery and they've used this kind of analogy or metaphor or whatever you want to call it, at least a few times in the series, I'm starting to imagine that this entire story of this show, of Dark, is entirely an unending loop, and everything that we're seeing has happened over and over again. It's just a constant repeating pattern is what I'm imagining is going to happen here. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if by the time we get to the end of the last episode, there's going to be some hint where it's like, okay, we're at the end and now it's all going to begin all over again, but it's going to keep going over and over like this. You know, it's the snake swallowing its tail. It's the end of Memento, people. It's just going to keep doing this over and over, I think.
Okay, so now we travel to 2374, where Chief O'Brien accidentally hits Wooler in the eye with a dart in Quark's bar. So I guess we finally learned that.
Oh, and then Fry walks in, and oh wait, that's Futurama. and then we get one of your favorite things, because right, speaking of loops, that's when we get a little bit of a montage.
Yeah, clip show, montage, greatest hits.
Yeah, clip show. Stuff. There's something about this whole time. We get that montage, you know, it's filled with news reports that essentially recount how the series began, and then we, with the disappearances, and then we start seeing things throughout the series of, you know, like whether it be Noah preparing that room that he brings the children to experiment on, or Claudia, old Claudia waiting for not so old Claudia, so on and so forth.
It was pretty cool.
I remember thinking, and I remember thinking, like it's not written down right in front of me. I remember thinking, no, is this their way of catching us up just to make sure we haven't forgotten anything important? That was my first thought. But, you know, I went, no, that can't be what's going on here. Because no. We don't see Alexander in that montage. We don't have one topless Francesca image in that montage. No. They're missing all the important stuff.
Our important thing. Alexander and his destruction that he will wreak upon people.
We didn't get
Waller. You didn't see what's going on with Waller's arm or eye.
We didn't get a split screen of Waller's arm and eye. We just need to have a split screen of just his his desiccated eye and his just the limb of his arm just laying in a gutter somewhere or whatever. You know, because Germany, this I'm sure there's dead limbs laying around all over the place. Okay, so but like they do on the show, the montage doesn't end the show. It's just like, okay, there's always the impression that everything that happens after the montage, like, oh, here comes the really important stuff. And those final minutes we get, what am I going to call her now? Earth 2 Traveler Martha and Earth 2 Bartos show up in 2050, whatever the hell it is, to see Eva. And that's when we know, rubbing my legs again, that Bartos is clearly a believer, as we kind of knew that. I mean, we know older Bartos is an agent for Eva, so why wouldn't younger Bartos be? Whereas Traveler Martha clearly has her doubts by now. So we have this little exchange, tense little exchange between Eva and Martha. And then the thing with the knife and the... I went, gee, what the hell is the point of scarring her? But just to literally leave a scar on her like a memento or something?
Did you figure it out then after that?
The reason for doing it?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's just so Martha is forced to confront like this is her future because she's seen multiple versions of herself with that exact scar.
Oh,
so she
goes,
this is the path that you're on.
Okay.
You're not going to get off of it. This is how it is. So it's just kind of like Jonas is always, I'm never going to turn into Adam. I'm not going to do this, whatever. But this is just like really clear evidence to Martha. Every time she looks in the mirror that this is your path.
Makes perfect sense. There's just the part of me, maybe the instinctive just watching the show and getting caught up in the story, whatever. Here's an idea. Instead of, spending time scarring your younger self and you're launching, 801 missions to do this, this, and that, hey, why not launch a mission to save your younger self, the one that, Adam Jonas over there is about to destroy in the other universe? Maybe that might be higher on your list of priorities than, let me give her a scar so that way she never forgets who she is and what she'll become. It's like, yeah, I get it. Thank you. It's great. But, screw that. Why don't you save Martha? No one ever tries to save Martha except Jonas. Everyone's just like, we'll just kill another one.
And Bartosz.
Well, we do have a lot of Marthas. So, yeah, that's true. We do have Bartosz, you know.
Yeah.
So I wrote, thanks for nothing, Eva.
Yeah. But just a testament to how much stuff happened in this episode, because by the time it got to this point, I'd completely forgotten that, like, last episode, there was, like, a wormhole abortion going on. So, like, the fact that, like, something like that was happening, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's also happening right now. I'm just like, man, they really fucking loaded us up with stuff this week
Then that takes us to the very end of the episode where, you know, Martha goes poof. You know, we assume that Jonas's horrifying wormhole, whatever the hell he did there, was actually successful. Except I guess he was expecting something to happen. Like, he would disappear, or I don't know, because he's looking at his gloved hands. He's like, oh, I don't understand. And then, again, Claudia shows up. And my note that I wrote, maybe Claudia can supersede both these cosmic assholes and help set things right. I just like that I'm at this point in the show, and I'm referring to Adam and Eva as cosmic assholes. Because they are. No one's rooting for either one of these. We can talk all the live long day about television series that we love, but we always have a special affection for the villains. And it's not that I don't like them as villains, but it's like, but they're assholes. They're just like, yeah, whatever. I guess I like a villain I can root for, and I have no interest in rooting for either one of them. I kind of want them just to both to be like, oops, I didn't see that coming, which would be, you know, in contradiction to what the show is all about, which is what I'm kind of looking forward to. Like, that's why I'm hoping somehow it's Claudia, maybe, or someone finds a way to break the pattern, break the loop, you know. I'm not going to say anything else. Go on.
Yeah. At this point, it definitely seems like Claudia is the one that could do that. But, I mean, I guess, you know, when we've seen the old version of Claudia get killed after this point, but maybe we haven't. Maybe this is different. And like that whole montage was just like us watching everything happen again. And then this is a different outcome at this point. Mm-hmm. So rather than the montage reminding us, it was just fast forwarding through everything. So maybe but this is definitely, you know, look back and we've seen no indication of, you know, this is definitely a surprise to Adam.
Right, and they have established already on the show that, you know, even though you think things have gone one way with one version, something can happen and there could be an alternate version. So, for example, that's the setup of the episode with Bartosz showing up and taking time traveler Martha away when she was originally supposed to take Jonas and go somewhere else with him. So maybe something intervened, maybe by her own hand, with Claudia. So, yes, there is the version that we saw earlier on when Noah shoots her and kills her. But maybe there is another version of her that something happened and there's one that didn't go down that path, and that's how we can get away with this. I mean, it's a way of getting around, you know, things that have transpired. But if they lay the groundwork, you know, establishing we can do this, we can get away with this, and here's why, that's why she can do that. That's why I'm thinking if she's still a key figure going into the final episode, that's why I think it's got to be more to it. It can't be just, but she does get killed in whatever year it is, 1920s or 1950s. I forget which year it is that Noah kills her.
Well, yes. 50s.
50s. Yeah, kills her in the 50s. That's right, after she sees Egon and everything. But, that was an episode.
Huh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's my favorite episode of the series. I mean, it was just so much fun.
I don't know what my favorite. I'd have to really think about it. I have to really think about what my favorite episode of the series is because have we ever talked about this? Maybe we have. I'm going to assume we have. I think some series lend themselves more to thinking about them in individual episodes than others. So it's easier to do that. And the easiest example in the way the writers themselves phrase it, it's very hard, except for when a couple notable events happen, like the murder of a character or whatever. It's very hard to do that with a show like The Wire, as far as a specific episode. We remember specific scenes.
Yes.
You know,
a lot of S-bombs.
Yeah. Whether it be like the death of Stringer Bell or when Omar gets whatever. But it's rarely like an entire, you know, beginning to end episode that way. As opposed to like, say, I don't know, Lost, and we'll talk, and people talk about like the Constant, or Breaking Bad, and we talk about Ozymandias or something like that. And I think Dark, I think of Dark kind of in the, I feel like I've used The Wire before on this podcast referring to Dark. I can't remember why I did it last time. These feel more like chapters of a book, so it's really hard to say, hey, chapter 7 is my favorite chapter in that book I'm reading. You know?
We were talking about how like the music like changes on it, I think. Like the opening credits change each season.
See, you remember the early seasons, you remember the early podcast. And by early,
this is what happens when I'm awake for a fucking podcast.
I know. Yeah. You think by just the fact that you're awake, I would let you get more than like 7% of the words in the podcast. But you know, I'm a self-centered ignorant. I'm so sorry, guys.
Well, I say everything I want to say, so there's no beef here.
You know what? It'll be amazing. It's where are we? We're at. This is going to be podcast number 260. 260.
Right? Correct.
It will be fascinating if maybe sometime before. Between now and maybe podcast number 300, it'll be fascinating if there's ever actually one podcast that I'm not on. Because you've had to skip ones for a number of reasons. Either you were on vacation, or it was me and someone were doing a show that you hadn't seen. So we'd be, you know, doing, you know, Crazy Ex Girl from Jason way back when, or the infamous Happy Valley one I did with Susan. And I don't mean, Susan, don't take it badly. You didn't, I'm sorry, because we got that horrible review and the audio was so messed up because we sent you the file instead of doing it ourselves and you messed. No, I'm just kidding, Susan. Well, she's not like that, but I don't care. I'm sorry, Susan. But, it'd be funny.
Yeah. See, maybe I'll see if our friend Jerk Gladfett wants to, podcast Band of Brothers with me.
Hey, I'd want to do this.
I just wanted an excuse to call him Jerk Gladfelter.
Oh, he doesn't listen to it back, don't worry. Have I told you that I've actually talked about a podcasting with him? Apart from this?
Yeah.
I did? Okay, I remember. Oh, I shouldn't have said that on the podcast. Oops. Oh, no one's paying attention. Never mind.
It's okay.
there's a possibility between now and, say, early next year that if he remembers, because, you know, that's more likely he won't remember.
I think he has a stroke once or twice a month, so who knows?
There's a possibility me and Jack might collaborate on a separate little podcast thing. It's probably something more connected to the kind of stuff he's been doing with the Crazy Hank TV stuff and similar to that, which also means if I have to, and I really don't want to do it this way, if it has to involve me being part of a video podcast, maybe I'll do that. Although I might just hold up a picture of a drawing of something and not actually be there. I don't know. It was just a very, very brief conversation about it. I said blah, blah, blah. He said blah, 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 blah. Yeah. That was pretty much it. You know, so it might not happen, but it would be fun.
Well, and one of our listeners, David Gott, he's reached out to me and he's expressed interest in doing a podcast with me where we cover the Hell Freezes Over concert where the Eagles got back together, because he's expressed some interest in giving that some good analysis as a notable fan of that band. So that's also something we might be able to squeeze in for episode 300, maybe episode 269. That sounds kind of good.
I would. That should be a podcast you release like really late at night, because that way once it pops up on people's feed, they can automatically start to play it, and it'll put them right to sleep. So it'd be really nice, because like, oh, the Eagles. Anyway, you know, it was so awesome because we actually thought this was going to be a super long podcast, and we were done talking about the show right at around the hour mark.
We did pretty good at it.
We were spot on, and then we just blah, blah, and it's me again. Blah, 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 and added another 10 minutes onto this. Anyway, but, you know, whatever. Okay,
yeah.
So if you enjoyed this podcast, you will enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. Like the page and join the conversation about shows like Dark and so many others that we tend to chat about there. You can find all of the episodes of our podcast on stvdpodcast.podbean.com. com. It's spelled just how it sounds. All 260 episodes of our podcast can be found there. You can go all the way back to the very beginning. You'll hear a happy, excited sounding Dan in the early days. It's really, it's so funny to hear you in the first couple of podcasts. It was like before you, it was before you, you realized, I don't really want to, this is more work than I want to be bothered with. you're like, yeah, let's talk about Don Draper. Whee!
Yeah, I was pretty coked out back then.
So you were. Happened. That's exactly what it kind of sounds like. It sounds like, because now everyone, all the jokes that I've made about you sniffling on things, like, so it is kind of a cocaine drip thing that's been going on, because all that coke you did back in April 2014. That's how we got through the waitress episodes of the Mad Men. Anyway, I was like, "Oh, this again." Oh, excellent. What else?
Yep.
STV podcast bean. Anything else? What else? Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at STVD podcast. STVD as in serious TV drama podcast. I feel like there's something I'm forgetting as part of our thing. Facebook, iTunes. Is it even iTunes anymore? Is it not like Apple Podcasts or something?
I don't know. It's still iTunes on my computer, but I don't know.
All right. Either it's iTunes or Apple. You can subscribe to our feed there, and you can rate and review us. And heck, I just discovered by clicking on the podcast thing on my iPhone and actually, you know, checking out what our podcast sounds, I now suddenly get notifications on my phone that our podcast is ready to be listened to. What the hell? It took 250 something episodes for that to happen. That's probably it's a me problem, but whatever. And that's it. We will be back, obviously, with the final episode of Dark. Chances are, if you're listening to this, I've released it on Tuesday. I will release it.
I think episode 6 has still to be released, so I'm not sure when you're going to release this one exactly.
Oh, good lord, that's right. I haven't released episode 6 yet. Ooh. Okay,
yeah.
We'll figure.
But I'm gonna,
I have not yet figured out the release of the final 3 Dark podcasts, but I will figure it out as this week goes along. We just have to figure out when I'm going to release the final one once we record it. But I don't want to take up time on the podcast talking about that because,
yeah, that's
whatever. No one cares. They'll get it when they get it. All right. Well, again, thanks for joining me. It's weird. We co-hosted.
Hey, you're not thanks. I'm more than willing to come back anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by, Dan. say hi to the kids. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Well, thanks for. Jeez, see that.
You're welcome, Scott. Have a good night.
Good night. Where I can't even find the button.